Hey now, welcome back to the Deadology Podcast from Pencil Hill Studio, New Paltz, New York. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. Today is November 12th, 2025, and this is Season 3, Episode 20 of the podcast. We got special guest Doug Schmell back in the house to discuss an amazing, legendary show. And initially, when I left off my last podcast, we were going to discuss the 40th anniversary of Rochester, November 7th, 85, on that date. And as I listened to the show again, I love that second set. There's some great stuff on there. Touch of Grey, the 20th anniversary banner came down at the end of that during We Will Survive into a ripping Samson. High Time was spectacular, my favorite vocal version. Great melodic playing by Jerry on that, breaking into the High Time, Let It Grow. Really good versions of Throwing Stones, Not Fade Away, Hot Midnight Hour Encore. But as I got thinking about it, it's a tape that I love listening to, but I decided it really wasn't a great show, and especially with Doug being on the show. Man, when I got Doug on the show, I want him foaming at the mouth. We're going to do like a spectacular show to bring out the best in Doug, who so loves the Grateful Dead, as you know. So I decided to make a switch to November 7th, another November 7th show, 1971, Harding Theater, San Francisco. And it's a show I knew was great, but I really hadn't listened to it all that much. So it was a great learning experience for me. And man, Doug is freaking loves this show. So on that day, we did a Zoom call, and here we go. No further need to introduce the show. I think we cover all bases on the Zoom call. The Zoom call took place on November 7th, which was the doing math here on the fly, 54th anniversary of the show from the Harding Theater. So let's jump right into our Zoom call with Doug. All right. It's a great pleasure to welcome back to the Deadology Podcast, Mr. Doug Schmell. Doug, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Howie. Thank you. Early November, you know, it's beautiful here in Florida. I can't wait to dissect and give this show the respect it deserves. It might be the most underrated show of all time. Any concert of any band ever.
I think that's right on, man. It was 54 years ago today, Harding Theater, San Francisco. The Grateful Dead, their first tour with Keith Godshaw. And man, what a great tour it is. And I got to admit, I didn't know how powerful and awesome this show is. I knew a couple versions from it. You told me to check out the other one, and I put that in my Deadology Volume 2. But I never took in the enormity of the show. I freaking love it, man. It's an incredible show, and I'll let you kick it off for us.
Yes, Howie, I first became aware of this show probably 7-8 years ago. I ordered a box set of FM, Grateful Dead 71 Dead shows that were all recorded on FM. So, you know, you had those great shows, July 2nd at the Fillmore West, the closing of the Fillmore West. You had Keith's first show in the Northrop Auditorium in Minnesota, which is an underrated show. I listened to that fairly recently. Great show. And then, you know, you got those shows that you and I know, like the one from October 31st. That was, I think, Dick's Picks number 2. Incredible stuff. Now, this show, I didn't know. And when I listened to it the first time, it blew me away. I just didn't have anybody really to tell. You know, my wife doesn't like the Dead. I mean, I was screaming out loud, got to check this show out. It's incredible. And I listened to it a good 3-4 times since then. But I really put a lot into it in preparation for this interview. And I'll tell you, Howie, I was blown away on several levels of how powerful and incredible this show is. It is easily, to me, the greatest show of 1971 and one of the greatest shows of all time. Easily in their top 10. Look, I know I got 20 shows in their top 10, but this is one of them. It is just phenomenal on so many levels.
Yeah, I think everything is there, man. Hunter was at his peak with songwriting. This show presents more Grateful Dead originals, like right in their raw form, besides how great the playing is. But it's just such a display. It's like, This is our statement. This is how freaking good we are. And the Grateful Dead were so underrated in that time period. People liked American Beauty. It sold some copies and Working Man's Dead. But this, besides Bob Dylan, nobody had better 2 years of songwriting than Hunter. And just everything from this show is mind-blowing. It's they're headed towards Europe 72, which is going to be their best tour. But this is the preparation, man.
Oh, no doubt. It's funny in the taping compendium, that you have and I have, John Dworck, who's one of the writers and editors of the compendium, he made a good remark in his discussion of the show. And he says, it really is one of the best shows and a tune-up to the power of 1972, specifically the Europe 72 show. And I agree with the Europe 72 tour. And I agree with him. This might be the greatest show on par easily with the best shows from that Europe tour. It's amazing. There are so many great songs. Like you said, the new songs are played with power. You've got it amazes me when you look at the song list, they must do about 16 slow one-off songs. And then they get to the jam sequence, and on a dime, they could do a Dark Star, drums, Me and My Uncle, other one, like it's nothing. It's incredible. They can turn on a dime. They were just in their element playing in a small theater. Back then, I was thinking how powerful they were in front of these college crowds, right? But this is a show in a, ornate theater, which holds less than 1,000 people. From what I read, it had 500 seats on the main floor and maybe 300 in the balcony. And people were probably sitting in their seats. I'm sure they got to get up. But this wasn't the typical loud, rowdy environment that they really were playing when their best came out. And boy, did their best come out on this night. Their absolute all-time best, if
Yeah,
you
and
will.
also they may have had a small crowd in front of them. It was a hometown crowd, but they knew FM radio was listening. They were playing it
Correct.
on the FM, and they were like, "Hey, we got the world at our command right now, man." It's just blown away how many good songs they had, and they were all just coming into their prime at this show. So yeah, let's jump right in, man. We never have enough time to discuss a show, especially this one. When I listened to the show, I didn't even look at the song list. I knew some of the songs. I was
You
just
did a virtual listening.
such a great, like, with the way they sequenced everything. So
It's amazing. There's a lot of banter between songs, which I like because they were on FM. I like the introduction before the truck and they're talking. It's great. Makes you howl like a hippie, is
yeah.
what Phil Lesh says. There's some hooting and hollering. And boy, this is one of the better truckins, probably up to this point, that they ever played. It's phenomenal. What a great truckin'. It's a good almost 10 minutes. There's a great outro jam. It's beautiful. Then there's more banter. I'll tell you, they get off the right way. To me, back in 71, two best openings by far are Truckin' and Bertha. So either one of those songs would have worked in the show. It's funny, there's no Bertha in this show, but that would have been, they probably opened up the night before. The night before is an excellent show too, but for some reason doesn't have the power. They were saving it for this night. By the way, this is like a 31, I forget, a 32 song show. That's 3 hours and 40 minutes. It's
Ridiculous
like
for
the longest
1971.
show.
Yeah.
The longest show they had ever done up to this point. And I made this point thinking about it this morning because I was listening to it again. Jerry hits more notes, like per square inch, if you will, per 100 possessions, if this is
Yeah.
the NBA, than he has ever done probably in any other show. There are so many great little jams, little leads, little solos throughout these 32. So it's amazing to me. How
Yeah, no,
does he
he
do it?
t totally restless, man. He was going off on this night.
He was aggressive. He was in your face. He was obnoxious, if you will. Like you said, FM audience, they're pulling out all the stops. They're definitely in their element. They're not holding anything back. And boy, that goes from the first song. The Brown Eyed Women's great, but on the recording, it has a couple of dropouts from
Yeah.
the recording. That mars it a little bit, but still, brand new song. They really play it nicely. And then you got the Beat It On Down the Line, which, I've tried to turn you on to, and I know you've accepted my invitation. This song is so great back in 71, 72. Two rounds of the jam, there was really no Keith solo, and Jerry just hits these amazing notes. I love it. A 14, a beat, dun, 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 dun. You hear the drummer say 14, it's great. Bobby concludes, yeah, 14 sounds good. And they kill it. And then you got the Hideaway, the first time they ever played that. It's just like a song for them to jam and instrumentalize in between songs. It's great. It's
Hey,
such a great song.
for a second, let's just stop right here. We're going to play The Hideaway because it was the first one they ever played. They played it one more time at the Summer Solstice show in 1989.
I think you're right.
So
Yeah.
only twice in their history did they play it. It's a
It's
Freddie
such
King
a
song.
right. It's a
And
great song.
I think this is the guy who influenced Jerry the most out of all the blues guitarists. He has more Freddie King in him than any other blues guitarist. So he did a little tribute here, Hideaway. We'll check that out. Hey, just since I mentioned that Summer Solstice, weren't you at my house in New Paltz? We watched the pay-per-view.
I think so. Yeah. Was that
That
89?
yeah, that was
Was
the other
that the show
Hideaway.
from Toronto or
No,
something?
it was San
It was a
Francisco.
great summer
It was a
solstice
California.
show.
I forget
Okay,
the
maybe you're right. It was a great summer solstice show around that time from Toronto. That might be
That was
88 or
'84.
89.
Yeah, that was on the radio. Yeah.
Right, which a great show. A great
Hey,
show. But
we're getting
yeah,
off track
Hideaway.
here. Let's get to that hideaway and we'll get right back to this awesome show. A little Freddie King there for you. Jerry couldn't help himself. That was the fourth song of the first set. And yeah, I was wondering if they planned it as a song or just it was a spontaneous jam, but either
Yeah,
way,
she was
it's nice.
spontaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that, because then right after Beat On Down the Line, you go back to a Jerry song with Sugar Ray, Beautiful Sugar Ray. Sugar, Jack Straw's the next song, and I'll tell you, I love the very quick picking notes that Jerry hits in this Jack Straw. I really do. It's a wonderful Jack Straw, and to me, it is right after the Jack Straw that this first set and the entire show takes off in abundance.
Yeah,
It,
I'm
to
laughing,
me,
man.
just the Tennessee Jed is incredible. One of the best ones probably they had ever played up to this point. It's funny, there's one in Boston Music Hall in the beginning of December, when Pig comes back right then and there. That's also a phenomenal one. This is real, this really where the song took off. Right in time for their Europe 72 tour when they killed it every time. But this one is phenomenal. This
Yeah.
Tennessee Jed blows my mind. Just
I knew
great
you'd love
licks.
this one. I freaking love it. It's a hand grenade. It's the ending, like the pacing of the song, but just that
It's
ending jam.
amazing.
And the crowd had never heard Tennessee Jed before. It was just introduced on October 19th. They're going
Correct.
nuts. It's like they've known it all their life. You know, it's that
They
good. And hey, so we got two quick audio highlights right here. I love that Tennessee Jed jam so much. I just want to play that as well.
Oh, could you blame yourself?
Turn around, and the letters read. So we got a little incredible, man. The crowd, the theater, they're totally into it, man. It's like you could just hear the crowd is just amped up, and they don't even know this song. They're just totally into the.
Exactly. If you think about it, that's probably what, the fourth time they've ever played it? I could look, but it's within that. They opened it on the 19th, as you said. I know they played it the 21st of October at a couple of shows. They played also, let's see. They played the night before. I forgot if they did it, but yeah, this could be the third if they played at the Palestra in Rochester at the end of the month in October. So they played, this is maybe the fourth time they ever played it, and they nail it. It's like amazing. This show is already in like a staple in their repertoire by the fourth song. It's amazing to me,
Yeah,
Amazing.
the quick paced plus this show just overall has this raw energy to it, man. Where
Correct.
Jerry's singing, he's like a little out of control, which is good.
It's amazing how pumped they were to be. This is a great time period for them. Brand new keyboardist, they're really hitting their stride. I'll tell you, I was just blown away. The Cumberland Blues that follows, I've heard three times, Howie, three times in preparation for this interview. And it's one of the best ones I ever heard. It's almost as good as the one from London, 4872, which made the Europe 72 album.
Yeah, that
It was a
might be the
great
best album.
one from earlier in the year, believe it or not, from 4/28/71 from the Fillmore East. That's actually one of the better ones I've heard. That Cumberland's great too. But this one is right up there. It's like you said, the pure energy. It's incredible. They're playing with attitude and they love it. And they're playing in front of their home crowd. They can't quit,
Yeah, it's awesome how all these songs just this is like the band had a great run around this time with great albums, Robbie Robertson and everything, and they get a ton of credit because they were with Dylan, kind of, they came
Correct.
out of the Dylan thing. This there's the only person I think of who's ever had a better 2 year period than the Grateful Dead with Hunter. This period is Dylan,
Correct.
just these songs are incredible,
Yeah, cranking
one
out
after
these
another.
amazing
Jed
songs.
Straw, Jed Cumberland. Such great songs that have
Oh,
stood the test of time.
You still got a couple of songs to go. Now, the next song, El Paso, is not one of theirs. It's a Marty Robbins song, but I love that song. And this is one of the better ones I've heard. Jerry, he really engages in the theme of the song. And in the beginning, the very beginning, he hits some beautiful notes to get it going, like a galloping sound of a horse. It amazes me. He really is the only, and probably if there was any others, I can't think offhand, but the best impressionistic guitarist that ever lived. You think of Birdsong, the licks he hits in Birdsong sounds like a bird in air, an aerial flight. It's amazing. This El Paso sounds to me like a horse galloping, getting away from the cantina, Rose's Cantina,
That's funny. I
that
was
go
about to
to
say
New
Cantina.
Mexico.
It
It's
sounds like
amazing. I
Garcia's
heard the El
Cantina.
Paso. I heard the El Paso a good two times, and it's just wonderful. I'll tell you. You guys out there, check it out. You'll see what I'm talking about. Amazing notes. And then you got the Big Railroad Blues, which was really coming to its own at this time. It is wonderful. It's one of the best ones I've heard. Now, there's only two rounds in that second jam, but it's very raucous and very loud. And it's just they're into it. The crowd goes nuts. For you Big Railroad Blues fans out there's a great one the next month from 12/10/71 from St. Louis from the Fox. Oh my God, that one's incredible. And to me, the best one of all time is from 10/18/72, also from the Fox. Take note of those. Those are incredible
There you
big.
go. There's the deja vu theory I've put out there before, that like once the Dead plays something and Garcia has like a ripping lead, he remembers the next time he comes back, and he may not remember
Same
going into a
hall,
song, but
same
yeah.
acoustics, the same environment.
It
Yeah.
hits him. It's like a deja vu thing. But
Hartford, Sugaree, there's a lot of those examples.
hey, in the Harding Theater, that Big Railroad, just the last jam, it's not long, but it's unbelievable. It's just,
Only two
that,
rounds, but it's
yeah.
raucous. It's
And
amazing. The crowd's into
Phil's
it.
playing and the whole
Oh,
band,
it's
it's
great.
just
And
beautiful.
kudos to the Dead because they could have kept up the theme with all these rock and roll songs, new songs, which they did. But the 11th song of the set is, to me, could be the best song of the set. It is undeniably incredible. It's the Comes a Time, easily the best version up to that time that they ever played. Jerry's voice is angelic. Beyond phenomenal. I heard this twice, Howie. I just heard it literally in the car coming back from lunch in preparation for this interview. And I could not believe how perfect Jerry sounds. besides the sound of his guitar, the perfect sequencing, everything is just perfect. The singing, the pacing, taking his time, he belts out the lyrics. I love the fact that back then, in its early iteration, it has that extra lead. When the words come
Yeah,
out,
angry
it's
stream and
beautiful, like an angry stream. Oh, it's beautiful. That's good stuff. I'm kind of, in a way, unhappy that they canned that, but still, it made the song more concise. But
I
as
think it made sense. It's cool to hear it in 71, but I think that was like a wise production
going
thing.
forward, I agree. But boy, Howie, this comes a time. I said it in the beginning, and I stand by it. This might be and could be the greatest, most underrated concert by any band ever. It probably is. And to me, this song, Comes a Time, is the most underrated song of any band ever. And I'll tell you why. This song would have been a hit, an FM hit, if it was released. It's such a great, beautiful song. Any person who ever hears this song loves it, except, people who just don't get it, people who don't like rock and roll. This song is just phenomenal. And they really kill it in such a beautiful vein for me, on this. And it really goes within the theme of this show, like we're talking about, the brand new songs. Jerry's belting away. He hit some incredible notes that last jam. It's short. They didn't extend the jam until later on in 72, where they made it a little longer, maybe 20 seconds longer. But still, this one is picture perfect.
All the feeling, all the powers there. It's another one of the October 19th songs that came out on that day with Keith's first show. As the next song,
Yeah,
Mexicali
they
Blues.
debuted a good six songs, I believe,
Yeah,
that
Straw and
debut.
Brown Eyed Women
It's
and Jed and
unbelievable. What a show that 19th is from Northrop. But yeah, the next song, the Mexicali Blues, is hot. They're going on the theme with the shorter one-off songs, no connecting jams, no jam suites. Makes sense in the first set. And that Mexicali Blues is beautiful. I heard it a couple of times. I just love it. I love Bob singing in that, Jerry's two solos. And then they end the first set with a beautiful, like they did in that time period. They end the first set with a One More Saturday Night. So rocking. It's incredible. They ended the first set perfectly. I forgot how long the set is, probably an hour and change. It wasn't the longest first set, but they make up for that second set. But it's a picture perfect first set because every song is played well, short songs, so easy to turn a non-deadhead onto because of these songs, the nature of them. There's no 20-minute jams that you lose some people's focus,
Yeah,
Every
we talk about that a
nice.
lot, like what's the best show to turn a non-deadhead onto?
Oh,
This
this is up there. This could be the top.
everything works. There's nothing that you can't that you need advanced dead seasoning to get into. It's this
Exactly.
is just here are the songs, they're great and everything's right on the money.
Check them out. The lyrics are there. The jam is there. They're short enough for people who have, the shorter attention span. Look, you're not going to be able to turn most people onto a 7-minute song. It just doesn't work.
Hey, it's a
But a 4 or 5 minute
foreign language.
song,
If
they
you
can
haven't been
take it.
into the Grateful Dead, it's a foreign language, man. It's a
Yeah.
different way to approach listening to it.
Exactly. And they take a break, and I'll tell you, it's just amazing. The crowd must have been. I was thinking about this, Howie. Besides the fact, you're talking about a small theater, under 1,000 people, it was a $3 admission charge.
Yes.
Tickets were
Wow.
$3.
In an
Talk
amazing
about the
theater.
greatest
Wow.
investment in the history of investments. You went to the show for $3, you're a deadhead for life. You're turned on to this music. Thank you, God, for making me a deadhead. It cost me $3. I just saw the greatest concert maybe of all time, and it cost me $3.
Wow.
And
And
yeah,
this one is so
$3.
long, man. It's like the one on Columbus, which is on Dick's Picks too. That one's phenomenal. One of the greatest seconds.
Great,
So
great
much shorter,
show.
though. So much shorter. This is
It
just
is
like,
right, correct. I don't know if it was because of time constraints with the hallway, the hall, but this one they let them play, and boy, did they play. So, because of our, own time constraint, we're going to get to the second set, but the Ramble on Rose, what a great set opener. I'm surprised they didn't do that more often. They did a couple of times. There's a famous Ramble on Rose second set opener from, that's Baltimore. I think that's 3/26/73. And that's the one where, what's his name? Wolfman Jack introduces the band. They're
Oh,
playing in
wow.
Baltimore, and that's where they sing Just Like Wolfman Jack. It's great. So they opened up the second set with that. Truly phenomenal.
I got to
It was
go to
a
that Baltimore
recent,
show. I forgot about
oh,
that.
that show's great. That was a recent Dave's Pick release, maybe a few months ago. It's phenomenal. Maybe probably the second to last release that they did. But this Ramble on Rose is great. Those
Two
71 Ramble on Rose
instrumentals.
has two jams, two separate solos by Jerry. They're both engaging. And I
And
loved
it's.
it. I listened to it also recently in the car before this interview. The Me and Bobby McGee.
Oh,
Oh
it's
my God,
beautiful,
Howie.
man.
This might be the best solo that Jerry has ever done. And I mean, it is poignant, it is powerful, the notes are just perfect. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, the three P's, poignant, powerful, and perfect. Just thought of it.
Oh no,
And he kills it. It's perfect.
I never like was taking it. I love Bobby McGee. Every time I hear it, it always kind of surprises me how much I get into it. But
Such a great
this
film.
one, that I had the same exact thoughts, man. That guitar solo, man,
It's
it's
incredible.
unbelievable.
Again, Jerry's probably within the confines of one show is hitting more incredible notes than he's ever done before. It amazes me. What a perfect solo, perfect, solo.
And beautiful sequencing, Ramble on Rose to Me and Bobby
Oh,
McGee,
I
but
agree.
the Ramble on
And
Rose had like that rough and rowdy feel as opposed to
correct.
beautiful polished year 72 vert. But yeah, just so great that getting these songs out is they're working the way to Europe 72. You could just totally see it. But it's so
Exactly.
exciting to hear that raw energy in there. They're so excited about these songs. It's
It's amazing. Yeah, no, I agree. This is such a springboard for what's to come. And in fact, to me, this is more of a springboard for Europe 72 than even those run of shows at the Academy of Music, which were great. Some of those were fantastic. But for some reason, this show, maybe because of the environment, playing in front of the home crowd, just having these songs broken out, not even a month and a half before, less than half a month, maybe 3 weeks before. It's incredible to me how great they were on these new songs. And Bobby McGee, oh, man, it's just perfect,
It's got to be the best one. Like it just that sticks out. Like when you listen to it and Jerry singing and the
Oh, it's
solo, it's
phenomenal.
obviously it's a Bobby song, but you could just hear Jerry so
Oh,
into it
Jerry's voice
playing
in
it.
it is phenomenal. Another one for you guys out there, if you like me and Bob McGee, there's a great one from Europe 72, Paris 5372. Comes within the other one suite, jam suite. It's phenomenal. Very heartfelt, great jam too, where you'll be like, oh my God, just Jerry knows what he's doing. These heartfelt songs, Row Jimmy, me and Bobby McGee, there's a lot like that that I love his solo. I love the tone of his guitar. This is one of them. And then, you got The Loser, which is a great, I'll tell you. I think of Loser, I think of the great versions of 77 and 78, right? But these ones from 71 and 72, Howie, are just so great. It's before the song really ever matured, and Jerry doesn't do like a two-round solo, but the solos are short, but they're so perfect. The song, it's just to me, what a perfect song. Another brand new song, another killer version,
Yeah, and that's the whole thing about this show. It's just like here we are. This is the like in '69 they were doing long jams and a combination of originals and, but th this is the Grateful Dead will never have a better 2 year run of new songs from
Oh,
Hunter and
yeah.
Company. It's incredible. All these songs lined up just perfectly. And moving with that theme, we go to American Beauty, which is a new album, but it seems old by this point because of all the new
It
stuff. You get a great Sugar Mag, and wow, this Sugar Magnolia is pretty damn hot for the for 71.
really rocks, it's longer than the most from that time period. It's great. Jerry was doing trying a new thing right after the main. He does these little quick pick notes before he settles off and they go into the pause before a Sunshine Daydream. It's great though, Howie. I listened to it twice just to get, refreshed for this interview.
Phil was going off during that show.
Oh yeah,
That was more of
his
a
bass
great
play is just
It
unbelievable.
was more of a
That's a
great
great
band
point for
effort
me.
than Jerry like sticking out. But hey, he had plenty of time. 72, 73, 74, forget it. For Sugar Mag, you got 30 all-time great
Oh
versions in there.
yeah, that was the time period. Hey, it's funny, I told you that I had recently listened to that great show, 1029-73 from the Kiel Auditorium. Boy, that's got an amazing Sugar Magnolia. Amazing. Because it leads up to what I consider the best one ever, 1111-73 from the Winterland. It's just an amazing time period, 71 to 74. To me, that's the greatest po time period of the Dead, probably. To me, that's their highlight, that's their
I
prime.
think starting with this tour going through 74.
Correct. Correct. The earlier point parts of 71, I don't think compare to when Pigpen left and then came back in December. There are some phenomenal shows. I agree with you, but there are some great shows that stick out for me prior to this, Keith's first tour. The April shows with the Fillmore East are phenomenal. A
Some great
great
stuff in
show
there.
from the Fillmore West on July 2nd is a phenomenal show.
A
There's a
little
couple
shorter,
other
the
ones.
Providence is hot.
Correct.
That
Oh yeah,
hard.
421-71, phenomenal show. But you're right. But when they hit their stride, when Keith started, it was a brand new energy. You had the new songs. To me, that's the Dead in their prime. End of 71 till 74, That's the dead, you know, to me the best. And then it's funny, we had a nice pause here to talk about, to me, the greatest, you know, sequence of the show. There's two unbelievable jam sequences in the show, and I know you'll probably agree. It's the Dark Star drums, other one, Meet My Uncle, into the other one, which is just beyond belief. It's 40 odd minutes, something like that. It's incredible. And then, of course, at the end of the show, you got the Not Fade Away going down the road, Not Fade Away, a 20 minute. It's just, to me, incredible. So this Dark Star, Howie, is really sweet. It's very different than the ones that would come in the next year. I think they only played Dark Star like 11 times in 71, something
Wow.
like that, maybe less. It's not a song that they whipped out all the time. They were tired of playing it. 69, 70, you know, they started playing it all the time by 70, probably trying to wean it off their repertoire a little and not play it every night. So it was a treat to see it at this
Yeah.
point in their career. And this is a beautiful one, really understated. Two things really stuck out for me. In the 6 minute Martha's Dark Star, you hear Jerry going towards the main theme and towards the lyrics, but he doesn't do it. He waits a little while. It's great. He just toys around with the theme and the opening lyrics for a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes. Then they get to the lyrics. It's beautiful. And then at the 13 minute mark, you hear Phil trying to get to the other one. But they don't do it. It's still Jerry resisting. The rest of the band doesn't let him. And then they go into the drum solo. But a beautiful Dark Star. Really contemplative, you know, not too fast or in your face, just laid back, noodling, and very, you know, quiet jamming, no dissonance, you know, no real
It's
space.
strange. It was very subdued. I listened to it 3 times. I was like, what am I missing here?
Nothing. It's beautiful. It's
But
totally
it
different.
just seemed like they weren't into it, man. It just seemed like
I understand where you're coming
every other
from.
song they're on top of
But I
was.
just love the contrast. You see, you can't do a rock and roll song every show, every song of
Oh,
this show.
they could have played a better Dark Star. That's
I
my
agree.
point.
And I understand where you're coming from with that. But it's just very understated. I listened to it twice. I listened to it, in fact, this morning because I took a walk around the neighborhood, had the headphones on. And it was a little better to me than the first time I heard it, which was on Thursday, which was actually last night. So I heard the Dark Star, the sequence, 2 times. Last night in the car, I was driving to meet Jack for dinner, so I had a good hour and change in the car. So back and forth, listen to this, and then again this morning. And I'll tell you, it's better than I thought last night. I just love. It's very, very understated. It's quiet. You know, look, I get it. It's not the best Dark Star of all time. There's better ones from '71. You know, the one from Columbus. What is that? Columbus 1031.
Oh
That
yeah,
one's
that's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah,
They
that one's
get the
us.
tighten up jam in there and
Oh,
yeah,
it's
that's
incredible. That
yeah.
one's one of the best ones. That's in the top. If you go to, you know, the what's it on the internet, you go to the what's it, the heady version, that's a top five Dark
Yeah,
Star. I
I
get
love
that.
that one, yeah.
No, I get it. And this one's not as good, but you got the drum solo
Great
and
drum solo,
Howie.
man. Yeah.
And then to me, the best other one by far up to that point in time. It is phenomenal. I know, you know, you may not agree with me with the Dark Star, but I assume you agree with me with the other one.
Yeah.
It is beyond belief incredible.
It's
Jerry's hitting
nuts.
notes right off the bat, some incredibly catapulting notes, you know, that beautiful runs of notes. And then out of nowhere, like they slow it down, they sing the lyrics probably by the 6, 7 minute mark, which is short for them at that time period, you know, especially pre 1972. And then they go right into Me and My Uncle out of nowhere. It's
A
incredible.
cool transition, man.
Oh,
Very,
it's the
very,
one of the
it's
best ones I've
great.
ever heard. Blows me away. Only problem is that I have with some of these, Bobby sings the lyrics too long. Jerry's hitting those opening notes, Me and My Uncle. I could do that for a fucking week. You know, it's great, but Bobby's, he kind of shot his low. Me and My Uncle, you know, right
Yeah.
before Jerry was about to take off, which
It
is okay because
did sound like it could have gone into a thematic jam at that point, but they went into Me and My Uncle was
Right. Yeah, you could tell Bobby was into it. That's why he cut everybody off and started the lyrics. But Jerry makes up for it because he hits a beautiful solo.
It's
The solo
incredible.
is fiery.
Oh,
He, I mean, the first sounds of his notes are just like, wow, he
yeah.
jumps into it. He
We
takes the
don't want to
reins.
sound silly, but it's like a freaking great Me and My Uncle. The jamming is great on that.
Oh,
It's
it's amazing. I
yeah.
love it. I could listen to that.
It's
That was
different than any
very.
other one because of where it was in the middle of this other one. It was perfect, man. It was pretty incredible. You would never wish they'd done anything else when you hear the Me and My Uncle. It's that good.
Exactly. No, it definitely works, you know. You know, during that time period, they were experimenting with that, you know. They did it at this show. You know, there's a show, I think, at the Felt Forum where I do something similar. The show that I mentioned from the Fox in St. Louis, Howie, that show is might be the second best show of 71. It's incredible. If you guys don't know it, it's got a truck and drums, other one sitting on top of the world back into the other one, which is phenomenal. That show is incredible. This show to me is better, but God, the other one in this show, and what sticks out for me, after the Me and My Uncle, they come back into the other one. There's about 8 minutes and change. They hit some beautiful notes as soon as they go back into it. Then it levels off just a little, but then they go back right before the other one reprise and hit some of the best fiery other one notes I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's
It's,
about the eight best minutes you're ever going to hear in another
oh
one.
yeah,
It's
that's 8
phenomenal.
minutes of some of the best Grateful
And
Dead
that, and
ever.
actually the Deadology podcast listeners out there are going to hear the entire 8 minute other one right now because it's that freaking good. Here you go.
Enjoy, folks. Put on your seatbelts if you're driving.
That is sensational. Just it's got spacey, but not too spacey. It was like perfect. That's hard driving. Other one, man.
Oh my God, incredible. Howie. Just to drive the point home, I was listening to this last night in the car. I'm hooting and hollering, but I heard it this morning, and I'm walking in the neighborhood right by where kids are coming on their bikes to school. And I swear, I let out a loud yell and. These kids were looking at me like I was crazy, but that's the power of this music. I could not contain it. When John was hitting that notes in the reprise, I just, you know, something like that. And people
those
were
hippie,
looking.
Howling, hollering hippies, man.
It really hit me more than any time. I knew this was hot. I knew this was probably, you know, the highlight of the show, that other one, but I forgot how powerful it was. But listening to it last night and this morning reaffirms that's what makes this show an all-timer. Look, there's other parts of it that stand out on its own. But when you got the Dark Star drums, other one, me and my uncle, other one. And they probably would have went into a war fret or something like that. But Phil mentions at the end they broke a string because he says, yeah, we would have probably went into something else, but Bobby broke a string. They say
hey,
that right
But
there.
Hey, that was a fortuitous break because what follows is,
oh
is
my
even
God.
Better than if they would have continued.
No, I agree
out.
With you. That's a great point, Howie, because they extend the show for another, it might be close to like an hour or something. Maybe
It's
not
nice.
an hour, but there's a lot of jamming left, probably 50 minutes. You got the Deal. That's after that. Who knows if they play Deal? The Deal is perfect.
Two
These
instrumentals in it,
71
too.
Deals with those double solos, you get two separate Garcia solos, are phenomenal. By 72, it's just the one solo with two rounds, but you get these two beautiful solos.
Once again, that's the theme of the show, man. They take a song like the Deal, whatever it is, and they're all enthused about everything they're playing. They got so much new stuff.
Here's a fairly new song. We love it. Let's see how much you love it. And Jerry's playing his heart out, you know? He's really, really engaged in every song. The Broke Down Palace that follows.
Beautiful, man.
Incredible. I love that. I love the fact that they slow things down. You got that, you know, other one sweet with the great jamming at the end. They stop, pause, Deal. Rock and roll song with two solos and then a perfect Broke Down Palace. One of the best ones you'll ever hear. I don't know how much time we got left, but we're probably in encroaching on our time. But
I think we got about 6 minutes.
Playing the band that follows. This is when the song really started to extend and evolve by the end of 71. You know, it was a 5 minute, maybe 6 minute song, you know, in July. And then beginning of October, you had that show on the 19th. I think that was the that wasn't the first one, no. But by then they started to little by little extend the solo in it. You know, this one comes off at like 8 minutes.
And
it's amazing. A jam.
It's just powerful, man.
It's short compared to 72, but what a great jam it is for the first 12th, 15th, 10th time they ever played it. You know,
we get to hear enough long playing band. It's cool to hear this, man. It's like 70
no, I agree.
Minutes, it's hot,
I agree.
Man. It's just hot.
It's hot. There's probably almost a 2 minute jam where Jerry's hitting great notes. It just really is. A precursor for what's to follow in 72, you know, slowly, built this into the jam vehicle.
And once again, for the new fan or the person listening to Dead for the first time, this is the perfect tape because, you know, you don't want to suck them into a 40-minute band. It's like
Less than 9 minutes, at eight minutes, if that, and it's engaging. You know, it's not a boring 8 minutes. And then you got a really nice Casey Jones, which this is one of the better ones from that time.
Romping at the end,
Seven rounds at the end of driving that train. I counted. I was like, this is pretty phenomenal. They used to do five or six. They did seven. They're just so into it. And Howie, that sets up jam sequence number two. I know you're going to play it. You have to play it.
No, we're going to play the whole thing. As the outro, we're going to play the whole thing.
Up to this point, this is the greatest Not Fade Away going down the road back into Not Fade Away they ever played. Look, there's some good ones. There's one from the Manhattan Center that made it onto the Skull and Roses
No,
album.
you gotta
No,
take that
you
back.
love the
You gotta
one
take it
from
back, man.
Columbus.
You gotta take that back, man. Because the Not Fade Away going down the road, yes, the Not Fade Away reprise is nothing. It's just
No. But
yeah,
Jerry hit some nice notes. He
yeah.
hit some nice notes at the end. There's no Big Ben.
This tour had the best Not Fade Away going down the road. Not Fade Away, where they really extended all points. The only I can't even call it this because they've done so much already. The Not Fade Away killer, the opening Not Fade Away, just
Oh
9 minutes,
my God, it's incredible.
unbelievable, one of the
It's
best ever.
incredible.
Going down
But
the
Going
road.
Down the Road is
The
the best
first
one
solo
ever.
is insane.
Four rounds of the solo. I thought that was going to be the one solo. It would have been good enough. I would have been happy. It would have sated us Going Down the Road aficionados. But they come back for the second jam, and it's incredible.
Definitely the best one up to that point.
Easily. And it's one of the best ones of all time. I love it. I get it with the reprise. It's short. But there's no Pigpen. Bobby's belting out the yelling and everything, and Jerry's hitting some great notes in the background. You got
Hey,
to hear
the
it
thing is that Columbus one has like a good 7 6 minute reprise, which is
I know what
unbelievable.
you're
So
talking about.
yeah, I can.
That one is great. That one is great. I like this Not Fade Away a little better, and I
No,
like this. Now that one's got a
Dick
great.
Lidvallo would agree with me.
It's got a great jam.
He
It's
actually
got.
mentions that you got to put a seatbelt on for that 9 feet away from
It's amazing.
Columbus.
But this Going Down the Road, you'd have to
Oh,
agree, is great.
it beats the one from Columbus.
Jerry went nuts. And then they got the double encore. This double encore, after playing at this point 3 hours and 25 minutes, whatever it is, close to it, they come out for the double encore. Beautiful Johnny B. Goode to get the crowd
Very
into it.
hot. Yep.
Amazing Uncle John's
One of the
Band.
best. It's
I
for
don't know
that
if you,
time
you
period. It's
it's
incredible.
incredible. It's better than most of the ones from Europe 72. It is. It's just
I
that
was shocked when I
first
heard it,
jam is
man.
incredible, and the jam at the end is spectacular. Perfect, Howie. Perfect way to end one of the greatest shows of all
Like when
time.
you mentioned earlier with the Bobby McGee, like to have the guitar jammed, it just stood out. You're like, what is it about this that sounds better than any other one I heard? Same thing with the Uncle John's up to this time
Oh, it's
period.
gorgeous.
Hey, you told me about this show. It was in Jamaica. It was 2019. I put the other one in my Deadology Volume 2 book. And then the ending of this, just the Casey Jones. I was on a Nautilus machine. I was going nuts, Not Fade Away, going down. I was working out so hard. I couldn't. It was so memorable the last time I heard this.
Yeah, the energy, enthusiasm, let's
The
see, another E, the excitement.
chutzpah, the
Yeah, the chutzpah. This show really checks every box, Howie. I'll tell you, I knew it was a great show. I knew it the first time I heard it. I couldn't believe it. But in the ensuing listens, and especially in advance, in preparation for this interview, I really took it in. This is easily a top 10 show. One of the greatest shows of all time. I bet you this is the longest show they ever played up until this point in time.
It
They
probably
didn't
is.
play 3 hours and 40 minutes in 1969, 1970, or earlier in 71. They did not.
That's what blew me away. Like even after the first jam sequence of Dark Star, the one they had a couple more songs here, a couple more songs there.
It's
It's like they just
incredible. They play for another 50 minutes. It's ridiculous. Who has that kind of enthusiasm, if you will, to play all night? Who has that stamina? Obviously, they're probably partying too in between sets and before the show, so they're high. They could be tired. They let it all out for their home crowd. And I'll tell you, we're so lucky to have this show available on different sources as a soundboard. The FM source sounds great. It's one of the ones that I
I like
believe is
FM compression. I
the
do like
archive.
it.
It sounds phenomenal. I have the one that was, like I said, it was produced for this FM 1971 Grateful Dead run of shows. It's great. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, like seven shows that they get, and this is easily the best one. I'll tell you, Howie, we're so lucky, and I say this so many times, that we are privy to this music. Years later, 54 years to the day later, one of the greatest concerts by any band of all time. Energy level. The enthusiasm, it's just unbelievable. The engagement, there's another E. It's just amazing to me how it all comes together one night in a small theater, probably
Well,
not the best sounding acoustics either, but they belt it out and they kill it. And an all-time show. If you guys out there don't know it, oh my God, you'll listen to some of these audio highlights and you'll be a believer. But taking the entire show from start to finish, it is one of the greatest Grateful Dead concerts of all time,
yeah,
by
the
far.
Grateful Dead 65, I mean, Dylan 65, 66, the Grateful Dead 71, 70, 71, 72. It's just like these ridiculous periods of. Our Zoom call is done, so it goes. Thanks for joining us once again, Doug. Look forward to hearing from you next month. And so we're what I was my, what I was finishing up with what I was saying there. Basically, Bob Dylan has the greatest runs of songwriting genius ever. I mean, look at his early stuff, all those great acoustics with The Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, all those great songs he wrote in that period. Then undeniably the best period of songwriting by anybody during that 65-66 period, with the Bringing It All Back Home, Highway 61 Revisited, Blonde on Blonde, and all the other songs that weren't even on those albums. And you also got the Blood on the Tracks era, where you got the Planet Wave songs, which is a very underrated album, Blood on the Tracks, and then Desire. So those are just like monumental genius songwriting periods. And the only other artist I could even put in there and band that would compare to that, they had one period like that where what they came out with, the volume and the brilliance just being ridiculous, is Hunter and the Grateful Dead in this 70-71 era. So you got The Working Man's Dead, you got American Beauty, two great albums. And I think part of the reason they don't get full credit amongst the regular world of critics is they had so many songs that ended up on live albums, which weren't showcased on studio albums, which really, wasn't as easy and need a presentation to the world at large as the Dylan albums were. So besides Working Man's Dead and American Beauty, all those great songs and the Americana, you know, kind of writing in the band Dylan, Dylan way of that period. You got To Lay Me Down, just some stuff that didn't make the album. You got the songs of February, 1871. I think they debuted a bunch of songs. A lot of them ended up on Skull and Roses, the live album. Bertha, Greatest Story, Loser, Playing the Band, Wharf Rat, Birdsong, Deal, Mr. Charlie, and then you got the songs that which were Sugary also. You got the songs which were debuted on October 1971. A lot of these ended up on Europe 72, The Tennessee Jet, Jack Straw, Mexicali Blues, Comes a Time, obviously not on Europe 72, but would be on Reflections. One More Saturday Night, Ramble on Rose. Later on, you got He's Gone added to the list. It's ridiculous what Hunter did and the great music the Grateful Dead wrote to accompany these tunes. Just such a huge part of American music history. And the beautiful thing about the show we just went over from the Harding Theater, 1971, November 7th, 1971, I don't know if there's a show which better kind of is a snapshot of how awesome the Grateful Dead were and all these amazing songs being performed in one show. I mean, this show is just stock full of all those songs I just mentioned, and just a brilliant performance that day, man. They're on top of the world, man. Grateful Dead, Harding Theater, November 7th, 71. So glad I really got a chance to listen to that show a bunch of times. And definitely, this is a show. You know someone out there who wants to get into the Grateful Dead, this is the perfect show to give to them, because it's not overly spacey, but it's just rip-roaring jams and all these songs really coming into their own. You're not going to find a better of a collection of tunes in any show. Just unbelievable. Better than I even thought it was, man. The Harding Theater, November 7th, 71. And don't tune out yet, because the outro is going to be the unbelievable Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away, which ended the set November 7, 71. Hang out for that. One other thought on Robert Hunter. In May of 1970, when he went to England for the first time, he was drinking some wine. And in one afternoon, he wrote Ripple, Broke Down Palace, and To Lay Me Down. Unbelievable. Just that's where he was and at that time, and the band was just completely taken off here in 70 and 71. Hey, that's it for this week. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. Thanks for tuning in. My website, tangledupintunes.com. You can reach me by email if you have any show suggestions, any comments, catfishgarcia82@yahoo.com. I'll be back next week. Everybody take care. Peace out. Thank you.
Bitch. Thanks, folks. Good night.